Problem is, now they know their weakness and they're sorting it out. They're fixing it.
So
unless we intend to do this job in Reno, we're in Barney. Barney Rubble. Trouble!
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that capos mid-song and calls it a key change. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Dave, the Clubber Larson.
I'm going to flush your dreams away.
Carrie, Little Red Corvette Race.
It's going to be another two down. Get ready to bite some dust.
And Kevin, the Colonel Coolman.
I wasn't a very good student, but I'm pretty sure you can't spell pop culture without popcorn.
Hello to everybody, and thanks for being with us today for the Calisoda Division Finals. The winner of this match will go on to the Season 4 Championship Finale 2 weeks from now. But that finale doesn't happen, along with any of the other games before or since, without our scorekeeper, Scoremaster Dan. Hey there, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. Now, we did get the consultant's report in, and according to them, we're doing very well in the critical driving to work and wandering around Costco demos, but they recommend we work on some content that's going to do a better job of appealing to the important drying the dishes demographic. So if you got any suggestions, you could just drop those in the Trello.
Will do, Dan. We also got to welcome our man behind the boards. It's Production Master Dave.
Hi, my name is Dave, and I like to party.
Well, let's get the party started with our first game, a round of My Champion. In this game, each one of our players has chosen a champion from the world of pop culture. We choose the battle those champions are fighting. Amazing Race Reject, Dave, who have you got for your champion today?
My champion is Daniela, the salon owner from In the Heights.
Tell me something I don't know. And Snatch Game contestant, Carrie, who have you got?
My champion is Michelle Visage from RuPaul's Drag Race.
And Starfleet Academy dropout, Kevin, who have you got for your champion?
My champion is Ernest from the Ernest franchise.
All three champions are locked in. Dan is going to be our judge today, so let's spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario: if you're stranded on a desert island, which champion is going to be the best companion? Dave, why is Daniela from In the Heights going to be the best companion on a desert island?
Well, Daniela is the obvious choice to be stranded on a desert island with. One, she's from an island, so she knows how to get around and to survive, which is important. Second, she runs a salon, and she's heard gossip for years, so you get to hear all the juicy details about everyone in Washington Heights. And third, she's the one in Act 2 that starts the party. So she's always up for a good time. She's always to take a bad situation like a blackout and make it a lot of fun. So Daniela's obviously the best person to be stranded on a desert island with.
Thank you, Dave. Now, Carrie, make the case for Michelle Visage of RuPaul's Drag Race.
All right. Well, Michelle is obviously extremely loyal. She's been RuPaul's best friend for years and years, so she definitely would have your back in this situation. Also, on a desert island, I think your main worry is boredom, and she can keep you entertained by constantly reading you to filth. And also, for people that don't know, Michelle Visage was a member of a girl group in the 80s called Seduction, so she can help you put on impromptu talent and fashion shows.
Sounds great, Carrie. And Kevin, how about Ernest from the Ernest franchise?
Well, I think it's important to note that, A, you'll be in a movie. You know, it'll be Ernest on an island or Ernest Island Adventure. So you've already got that going for you. Second, he has a trusty dog named Rimshot. So you've already got another companion with you. And third, he takes care of kids. He takes care of the community. He really is the superhero of the world. So having him around, you'll always feel safe, you'll always feel protected, and he'll always take care of the trash.
You started your argument by saying it's important to note, and I'm like, is he going with the importance of being Ernest? Is that where this is leading? Apparently not. Regardless, it is up to Dan, our scorekeeper, to determine our My Champion winner. Dan?
we got two people, Daniela and Michelle Visage, who could really be entertaining on the island and could put on parties and fashion shows and gossip with me. My problem is I don't think we have enough on the desert island to maintain either of those two people in the status to which they are accustomed. So I think I need to go with someone who is going to be a little more down to earth and a little more taking care of things. So I think the winner today has to be Kevin and Ernest P. Worrell.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, you have won my champion, which means you go first in round one, and you also get a crack at the half point. Answer this question right, and you'll have half a point more than either of your fellow competitors. Here is your half point question. A season one episode of Gilligan's Island has the castaways run into a feral jungle boy played by this Tango and Cash actor.
Oh, geez. Is that Kurt Russell?
Correct, for the half point. That means you're also going to go first in round one, group shot. Lots of movies and TV shows succeed not because of individual actors, but because of the way the cast works as a group. In this game, I'll give you three members of a group that a movie or TV show is named after. You tell me the name of the property. So, for instance, if I told you that this group included David Schwimmer, Courtney Cox, and Lisa Kudrow, you'd know that the title group was...
Friends.
Friends. That would get you 10 points. Now, if you need some more help, I can tell you the year and genre of the property we're talking about, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. Our My Champion winner, Kevin, is going to go first. Your first title group includes Kristen Wiig, Rose Byrne, and Melissa McCarthy.
That is Bridesmaids.
Next up to Dave, we've got George Peppard, Dirk Benedict, and Mr. T.
Oh, those are guys on the A-team.
And to Carrie, Judd Nelson, Anthony Michael Hall, and Ali Sheedy.
They were all members of the Breakfast Club.
Coming back to Kevin, we're looking for the title group that contains Charles Bronson, John Cassavetes, and Telly Savalas.
Oh, man. Can I get the hint?
It's a 1967 war movie.
Is that... Oh, man, is that... I don't know. Pass.
Carrie?
Is that the Dirty Dozen?
Yes, all members of the Dirty Dozen. Kicking it over to Dave, looking for the group that has Kristen Stewart, Naomi Scott, and Ella Balinska.
I need a hint for that.
A 2019 action remake.
It's not Charlie's Angels, but... Yeah, Charlie's Angels.
Hey, Charlie's Angels, all members of the Elizabeth Banks-directed version of Charlie's Angels.
I don't want to tell contestants their business, but if you got an answer, even if it's going to be wrong, yeah, is better than saying pass.
As we just learned. I'm regretting it because I was going to say Dirty Dozen, yep, and then I knew said that pass. Too.
All right, next back up to Carrie. We're looking for the title group that contains Carl Urban, Jack Quaid, and Laz Alonso.
I don't watch this, but I think though I know Carl Urban and Jack Quaid are both on The Boys.
Yes, the Amazon superhero series The Boys. Kicking it back to Kevin with Susan Sarandon, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Cher.
Susan Sarandon, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Cher. Oh, can I get the hint?
A 1987 fantasy movie.
1987 fantasy movie. Oh, I have no idea on this one for sure. Pass.
It's the Dirty Dozen.
Dave knows this one.
Those are the Witches of Eastwick.
Yes, George Miller's The Witches of Eastwick. Back over to Dave. Damian Lewis, Donnie Wahlberg, and Neil McDonough.
Oh, damn. The only thing I know Damian Lewis from... is that Showtime series, which it was definitely not part of a group, so I'm going to need a hint.
A 2001 war miniseries.
Hogan's Heroes.
Band of Brothers is the group that they're part of there. Though Damian Lewis is one of the titular billions on Showtime. Over to Carrie, looking for the group that has Johnny Knoxville, Sean William Scott, and Jessica Simpson.
Oh, they all starred in the movie remake of Dukes of Hazzard.
Correct. Bo Luke and Daisy Duke. And that'll take us into our first score update from Scoremaster Dan.
So far, Carrie is perfect in this round. She has 30 points. Dave is doing pretty well. He's got 15. And Kevin is behind with 10 points and the half point.
Let's get back into it with Kevin, looking for the group that contains Matt Bomer, Brendan Fraser, and Diane Guerrero.
Matt Bomer and Brendan Fraser. See, like, all I think about is how neither of their careers really passed, apparently. they did. Can I get the hint?
A 2019 weird kind of superhero show.
Weird kind of superhero show.
That show is Doom Patrol from the DC Universe.
Now I'm just wishing that Brendan Fraser was also in Magic Mike.
Dave, for you, we're looking for the group that has Emma Watson, Florence Pugh, and Saoirse Ronan.
Wow, that sounds awesome. I wish I had seen it. What's the next clue?
A 2019 drama movie.
Is that Little Women?
Yes, the remake of Little Women. And for Carrie, looking for the group that has Bernie Mac, Scott Kahn, and Elliot Gould.
They were all in Ocean's 11.
Bonnie Rubble. Trouble!
And next up to Kevin, looking for the group with Sean Connery, Peta Wilson, and Stuart Townsend.
I'm really embarrassed that I didn't know Dirty Dozen, but I know this one. That's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yes, for the full 10. And for Dave, looking for the group that has Chadwick Boseman, Delroy Lindo, and Isaiah Whitlock Jr.
Oh boy. I need the hint.
It's a 2020 war drama.
Oh good, so it's not Ma Rainey's 2020 war drama. The Platoon.
Kevin?
That's Da Five Bloods.
Yes, Spike Lee's Da Five Bloods on Netflix. And closing out round one with Carrie, Rachel McAdams, Lacey Chabert, and Amanda Seyfried.
They were all Mean Girls.
And on that answer for Carrie, that'll close out round one. Next up, the scores from Dan and on into round two.
Hello, this is Promotion Master Dave here to tell you all about the benefits of becoming a Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show supporting member. Oh my goodness, you get those empty studio episodes, you get those golden ticket specials, you get those game night decathlons, yes, and we're doing one this weekend. It is going to be hosted by Taylor Cole, August 22nd, about an hour or so of live trivia over Zoom with us, your hosts, and your fellow listeners, broken up into teams, playing a whole bunch of different games. Super fun, great crowd, always a good time. That is available to our silver and gold supporting members. Check it all out, usaquizshow.com/membership or directly at patreon.com/usaquizshow. Thank you so much for your support and keeping the lights on here at the podcast.
Going to round two, it's time for the Shrek is Bad score break. Shrek is Bad, and we stand with Scott Tobias. Right now, Carrie is in the lead. She has 50 points. Kevin has 20 points and the half point. Dave is in third place with 20, but that means he'll go first in round two.
Dave also gets a chance to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. Dave, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You have three guesses used any way you like to match as many of those three answers as you can. 10 points for each answer you match. Your Threequalizer question is, when the movie Ghostbusters was made into a cartoon, The producers didn't have the voice or likeness rights to the actors, so they wound up making some interesting casting choices. Voice acting mainstay Frank Welker was Ray, but the other three Ghostbusters were played at times by very recognizable actors. Winston by a comedian and talk show host, Peter by a comedian and Full House actor, and Egon by a distinctive voice actor best known for being the Brain on Animaniacs. Name those three voice actors for Winston, Peter, and Egon.
Okay. wish I am going to say John Stamos. Whoopi Goldberg. And let's say Bill Cosby.
Let's not.
Sadly, no points for Dave. Winston was voiced by Arsenio Hall. Peter Venkman was Dave Coulier, the other uncle from Full House. And Egon was Maurice LaMarche, with a very prolific voice acting career before and since. Now, from the Ghostbusters, it only makes sense that we get into round two, Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good. TV shows and movies often play fast and loose with science and engineering, but from 2003 to 2016, they were being held accountable by another show, Mythbusters. In this game, I'll ask you about two TV or movie myths based on Mythbusters. You'll have to identify the show or movie the myth was from. For example, if I told you that Mythbusters asked, "Could you make an oxygen tank inside a shark's mouth explode by shooting it?" you'd know that they were testing a myth from
Jaws.
Jaws. Yes, that would get you 10 points. If you need a little more help, I can tell you the year and genre of the movie or TV show in question, but then an answer is only worth 5. After two such questions, you'll have to guess whether the myths you just heard were judged to be plausible or not. If you can correctly guess both with no partial credit, you'll get another 10 points. Let's start round two with Dave. Which pop culture property inspired Mythbusters to ask, "Would stuffing an injured person inside the carcass of a recently killed animal keep them warm enough to survive on an ice planet?"
Well, I know that's one of the Star Wars movies. I'm going to say The Empire Strikes Back.
Correct. Mythbusters also asked, "If you drop a human head in liquid nitrogen for 5 seconds, will it shatter when hit?" What inspired that question?
Hint, please.
It is the sci-fi 10th installment of a horror series.
Is that Halloween 10? Jason in Space.
Kevin knows that one?
That one's Jason X.
Yes, the Friday the 13th 10th installment, Jason X. So now, Dave, did they find the Empire Strikes Back myth to be plausible?
I'd say that's plausible.
How about the head shattering from Jason X?
Implausible.
All right, the full 10 points on the follow-up. Next up, over to Kevin. What caused Mythbusters to ask, "Can you have a conversation with someone while skydiving?"
Is that Point Break?
Correct. And then what had them ask, "Can latex masks be so lifelike as to fool people who know what you look like?"
Is that Mission Impossible?
Correct on both. So is having a conversation while skydiving plausible?
I'm going to say plausible.
Incorrect. But the Mission Impossible masks were plausible. Still 20 points for getting both properties. Over to Carrie. What caused Mythbusters to ask, "Could two people have stayed afloat on a single wooden door in the ocean?"
Titanic.
And then what had them ask, "Could you jump out of an airplane in a life raft and surf down the side of a mountain to safety?"
I feel like it's some dumb Vin Diesel movie. Triple X?
Sadly, no. That's going to be Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh my God, I do not remember that.
So now we get to ask about plausibility. Is staying afloat in Titanic plausible?
Yes, justice for Jack.
And how about the Indiana Jones life raft?
Yes. Ugh.
Sadly, Mythbusters did not determine that to be plausible. Coming back to Dave, what caused Mythbusters to ask, "Can a laser generate enough heat to pop popcorn?"
I need the hint.
It's a 1985 comedy.
Is it Gremlins?
Carrie?
Yeah, that's my husband's favorite movie, Top. No, Real Genius.
Different Val Kilmer movie.
Secret.
So back to Dave. What caused Mythbusters to ask, can you repair a burnt out fuse with tinfoil?
MacGyver.
Correct for 10 points. So now on to plausibility. Is the Real Genius laser popcorn popping plausible?
I'm going to say no.
Sadly, that is plausible, as is the foil fuses from MacGyver. Both plausible in this case. Coming back to Kevin, what caused Mythbusters to ask, could hydrochloric acid have dissolved both a dead body and the bathtub that it was dissolved in?
Ooh, that's the best scene in Breaking Bad.
And they also asked, could you use liquid nitrogen to cool off a pressure-triggered bomb set, say, on a toilet and delay its detonation?
Oh, can I get the hint on that?
It's a 1989 buddy cop action sequel.
Oh, is that Lethal Weapon 2?
Yes, for 5 points. So now, is the Breaking Bad acid plausible?
I'm going to say plausible.
Was determined to be not plausible. Apparently, Vince Gilligan claimed that he just said hydrochloric acid on the show, but really it would have had to have been a different combination that he didn't want to discuss on TV. So intentional inaccuracy there.
This would be much easier if I ever watched Mythbusters.
I don't think so.
Though apparently cooling the bomb is plausible from Lethal Weapon 2. All right, Carrie, this next one's for you. What caused Mythbusters to ask, if you wear a tuxedo under a wetsuit, will it still be presentable when you come out?
Can I have a hint, please?
A 1964 spy thriller sequel.
Can I just say James Bond, or do I need the specific movie?
Need a specific film title.
All right. I'm going to say Dr. No.
Kevin?
That's Goldfinger, right?
Correct, from 1964. Though, Carrie, what caused Mythbusters to then ask, could a crew of sailors improvise a submarine by holding a canoe over their heads while walking along underwater?
Ay, ay, ay. I need a hint for that too, please.
A 2003 fantasy action franchise starter.
All right, let's say Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes, Curse of the Black Pearl. So now, which of these is plausible? Is the Goldfinger tuxedo plausible?
I will say yes.
And how about the improvised submarine from Pirates of the Caribbean?
I will say no.
10 points for that follow-up. Nice, carry. And that'll take us into our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
All right, we have an increasingly close game. Carrie is still in the lead with 75. Kevin is close behind with 55 points and the half point. Dave is still in third with 50, but anything can happen.
All right, Dave, let's get back into it. What caused Mythbusters to ask, can you drive a car into a moving semi-trailer by driving up a ramp?
I'll take the hint.
A 1982 action TV series.
Action TV series. Knight Rider.
Very good for 5. They also asked, if you had a big, heavy enough fist and were very strong, could you punch down on an oncoming SUV, causing it to somersault over you?
Oh, boy.
Dave, speaking from personal experience, says...
I'll take the hint again.
A 2004 superhero fantasy action movie.
The Avengers.
Nope, that big fist is going to be the fist of Hellboy. So, for plausibility, is the Knight Rider driving onto a truck plausible?
I did it last Saturday, so sure.
And how about the Hellboy SUV somersault?
No.
Another 10 points. That would flip over in the air and just kill you in the process, as Mythbusters determined.
Inconvenient.
And I gotta say, it was very upsetting to find out how easy it was actually to drive up a ramp in the back of a truck. They got it the first time. It's super easy. It just ruined my childhood retroactively to find out that was not actually a stunt.
All right, Kevin, what caused Mythbusters to question, will an explosion of C4 from some distance knock a golf ball into a hole?
Oh, wow. Golf ball into a hole. Can I get the hint?
A 1980 comedy.
Oh, the Caddyshack.
Correct. what also then caused MythBusters to ask, could you disable a car on the street above without causing too much damage by exploding a manhole cover from below?
I think I know this, but can I get the hint?
A 1983 action TV series.
I don't know, because that's not what I was thinking, so I'm going to pass.
That happened on an episode of The A-Team. So, Kevin, is the Caddyshack golf ball explosion plausible?
I'm going to say plausible.
Just not enough pressure at that distance. But the A-Team manhole cover explosion apparently was plausible, according to MythBusters. Kicking it back to Carrie, what caused them to ask, can you curve a bullet around an obstacle by swinging a gun while firing?
That sounds like it could be a lot of different things. I have something in mind. I'm going to take the hint.
A 2008 comic book adaptation.
All right, that's what I was thinking of. I believe it's called Wanted.
And then what had them ask, could you use two guns to escape from a room by shooting the floor around you in a circle and then falling through?
Oh my gosh. I can like see it in my mind, but I need the hint.
A 2003 supernatural action movie.
2003 supernatural action movie. I can't come up with anything.
That movie is Underworld.
Oh, yes. Kate Beckinsale. All right.
So, Carrie, is the wanted bullet curving deemed to be plausible?
Yes.
Deemed implausible, as was the shooting a hole in a circle around yourself and falling through the floor. One more pair of myths for each player. Dave, MythBusters asked, could a sufficiently fat man cushion the blow of a wrecking ball against a house by holding on to the side of it?
Wow, I need the hint.
A 1989 animated TV show.
The Simpsons.
Correct. They also asked, if you attach the rear axle of a car to a light post and drive the car, will it yank out the axle?
Again, I need the hint. I think I've seen this.
A 1973 dramedy.
Oh, then definitely I haven't seen it. what was on when I was in diapers? 1973 dramedy. Kramer versus Kramer.
A very comedic film. No, that's going to be American Graffiti. So, Dave, is the Simpsons wrecking ball cushion plausible?
That sounds just dangerous. I sure hope not.
The Simpsons thing was determined to be plausible by MythBusters, but the American Graffiti axle pulling was not. Over to Kevin. What caused MythBusters to ask, could you use a system of polished bronze mirrors to light a deep underground passage with sunlight?
Can I get the hint?
A 1999 supernatural adventure movie.
Is that The Mummy?
Yes. They also asked, if you were buried alive, could you punch your way out of your own grave?
Buried alive and punch your way? Hint, please.
A 2004 martial arts sequel / continuation.
I don't know. Pass.
That's Uma Thurman punching her way out of her own grave in Kill Bill Volume 2. So, Kevin, was the mummy sunlight illumination deemed plausible?
That seems plausible.
And how about punching your way out of your grave, Kill Bill style?
That seems implausible.
Another 10 points on the follow-up. And closing out round two with Carrie, what inspired MythBusters to ask, does drifting a car make it go around a corner faster?
Well, I have to believe, I'm just going to go for it and say Fast and the Furious.
Specifically, the drifting is going to come from the Fast to the Furious
Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift.
Oh, come on, man.
But MythBusters also asked, could a souped-up car make a sharper turn by shooting a grappling hook onto a pole?
My lord. All right, I'll take the hint.
A 1989 superhero movie.
Let's hope this is Batman.
Yes, with the Batmobile's grappling hook. So, is the Tokyo Drift drifting deemed plausible in terms of making the car faster?
I have a hard time believing anything in Fast and the Furious is plausible, but I'm going to go against my instincts and say yes.
I should have gone with your instinct, no. Nor was the grappling hook in Batman. Well, that'll wrap up round two. Up next, another score update from Dan and on to the final round. Before we get to our last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's pop culture riddle by the time next week's episode comes out, and you can win fabulous non-prizes like the rights to name a score break. Dan?
Somehow inspired by a poem from Browning, an abortive adaptation left the fans frowning. The comic's a prequel, the movie a sequel, but nothing yet has been the book's equal.
Think you know the answer? Find the page for this episode at our website, usaquizshow.com, and show off that knowledge. Or check the link in your show notes. And then when you want to know the answer for real, you can check our social media pages a full week after this episode comes out. That's at USA Quiz Show on both Twitter and Instagram. And while you're there, check out the other weird ephemera and marginalia about the things we cover on that show throughout the week. Thanks for that riddle, Dan. How about the score update?
Absolutely. Going into round three, it's time for the Samuel Beckett score break. Samuel Beckett, the man that put time travel and Endgame together before it was cool. At this point, Carrie's in lead with 85 points. Kevin is close behind with 75 points and the half point. Dave is also close behind. He's got 70 points. That means he'll get to go first in round three, and he'll need just two correct answers in order to move into first.
Ooh, very close game, but anything can still happen in the lightning round. Players get their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are Rogers Nelson, Social Issues in Space, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, and The Saturday Premiere, but Premiere spelled E-A-R. Now, those topics may be a little bit mysterious based on their names alone, so pick the thing you're going to do the best on. Or maybe you're going to want to keep something that sounds easy away from one of your fellow players. Dave, in third place, you get first pick. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are Rogers Nelson, Social Issues in Space, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, and The Saturday Premiere, but Premiere spelled E-A-R.
I will try Rogers Nelson.
Got any guesses as to what's going on with this category?
I have no idea. I dream of Jeannie.
No, in this case, Rogers Nelson is the second two-thirds of the full name Prince Rogers Nelson, better known to the rest of us as just Prince. So this is going to be all about the life and career of the musician Prince.
Okay.
Stole my category.
Dave looks so scared.
I mean, I was a teenager in the 80s, so I should have some answer.
Good luck, Dave.
You can do it.
90 seconds on the clock. The timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Dave, are you ready?
Sure. Let's go.
All right. This Prince movie soundtrack spent 6 months atop the album charts.
Purple Rain.
He was born and raised in this Midwestern state.
Minnesota.
He guest starred as himself in a 2014 episode of this Fox sitcom.
New Girl.
He sings about a raspberry variety of this hat.
Beret.
This was the name of Prince's Hanhassen home and recording studio.
Pass.
He wrote and performed original songs for this 1989 superhero film.
Pass.
This pop artist did 12 unique paintings of Prince.
Keith Haring.
Andy Warhol. This 1983 single's title refers to a particular Chevrolet.
Corvette. Me and my red Corvette.
Little red Corvette. Prince's album Parade served as the soundtrack to this movie.
Pat. Under the Cherry Moon.
This singer hit number one with a cover of Nothing Compares to You.
Sinead O'Connor.
Tipper Gore reportedly founded the PMRC after her daughter listened to this song.
Darling Nikki.
He recorded this duet with Sheena Easton.
Pass.
Prince fans refer to the unpronounceable symbol after he changed his name to this.
Androgyny.
The love symbol. Prince wrote this hit song for the Bangles. That song, Manic Monday, for the Bangles. All right, Dan, let's hear the Dave report.
All right, let's go over the passes first. Prince's home and recording studio is called Paisley Park. The 1989 superhero we referenced just last round is, of course, Batman 1989. Prince did a bunch of songs for Batman. They're mostly pretty forgettable, but, you know, whatever. They're all there. And the duet with Sheena Easton is You Got the Look. Dave got 7 correct answers. Seemed a little trepidatious, but he had a pretty good round. That means he now has 140 points, and he has a commanding lead. Kevin is up next. He's got 75 points and the half point. He'll need to get 7 correct answers in order to pull into first.
I will not stand for this slander against Bat Dance, maybe the greatest musical masterpiece of the last 50 years. All right, Kevin is up next. Your remaining category choices are social issues in space, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, and the Saturday premiere, but premiere spelled E-A-R.
Social issues in space sounds like Star Trek, so I'm just going to roll the dice and say social issues in space.
Well, you're sort of on the right track, but in this case, you're going to be going a little bit later than the original run of Star Trek with a round of questions all about 70s sci-fi. 70s sci-fi. 90 seconds on the clock. Kevin, are you ready?
Let's do it.
She plays Warrant Officer Ellen Ripley in 1979's Alien.
Sigourney Weaver.
This Glenn A. Larson show was remade in 2004 by Ron Moore as a 9/11 metaphor.
Battlestar Galactica.
This Glenn A. Larson show updated a 1920s pulp hero and added Tweaky the Robot.
Flash Gordon.
Buck Rogers. This Charlie's Angels star had a sci-fi turn in Logan's Run.
Pass.
Anthony Perkins and Ernest Borgnine hang out with the talking trash cans in this 1979 Disney flick.
Pass.
This musician plays an alien looking for water for his home planet in The Man Who Fell to Earth.
David Bowie.
The 1976 sequel to this movie featured Yul Brynner in an erotic dream sequence.
Pass.
This mad scientist's servants include Riff Raff and Magenta.
Pass.
Gregory Peck and Laurence Olivier have the leads in this 1978 sci-fi mystery.
Pass.
This Diamonds and Rust singer contributed 2 songs to eco-friendly space flick Silent Running.
Joan Baez.
Much of this 1977 movie centers on the marital strife between Richard Dreyfuss and Terry Garr.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
1975's A Boy and His Dog stars this Miami Vice star as a telepath. It's going to be Don Johnson. Yep. After the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Kevin report.
All right, let's do some of the passes. Farrah Fawcett had a sci-fi turn in Logan's Run. Not many people saw it, but it's memorable for those who did. The movie that has Anthony Perkins and Ernest Borgnine talking with trash cans was Disney's attempt to do a Star Wars. That's The Black Hole from 1979. The movie that has Yul Brynner in an erotic dream sequence is Future World. That's the sequel to Westworld. Riff Raff and Magenta work for Dr. Frank Infurter in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And Gregory Peck and Laurence Olivier's 1978 sci-fi mystery is The Boys from Brazil. I won't give any spoilers, but they all look a lot like Hitler. Kevin got 5 questions correct. That means he has 125 points and the half point, but that is not enough to pull ahead of Dave, who has 140. Kari's up next. She'll need 6 correct answers in her category in order to take the win.
All right, Carrie, your final 2 category choices are It's a Mad, 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 Mad World and The Saturday Premiere, but premiere spelled E-A-R.
Well, first, I have to mention how disappointed I am in Dave that he stole my Prince category and didn't get the right answer to Little Red Corvette, which is my nickname. So, and I've actually been wanting to play that category since it wasn't chosen on whatever show. So now I'm stuck with It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Any guesses as to what's going on here?
I hope it's not comedians in their 80s.
Well, you're lucky it's not, because we've got multiple instances of the word mad in that title, We're going to be talking the pluralization of Mad. So it's Mads, as in Danish actor Mads Mikkelsen. So this is all about Danish actor Mads Mikkelsen.
All right, let's do it.
His character Galen Erso played a role in this Star Wars movie.
Rogue One.
In Another Round, he's a high school teacher who does this every day.
Drinks alcohol.
Mads had a role in the 2011 version of this novel with Ray Stevenson as Porthos.
Pass.
He played an accountant in the video for this Umbrella Singers' Bitch Better Have My Money.
Rihanna.
He provided English dubbing for a 2010 movie about these Finnish-Swedish cartoon characters.
The Smurfs.
The Moomins. In a 2006 movie, his Le Chief faced off against this hero.
James Bond.
He co-starred with Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland in this 2021 release.
Pass.
In 2019's Polar, he co-stars with this High School Musical and Spring Breakers actress.
Pass.
He plays Caecilius in this 2016 Marvel movie.
Doctor Strange.
In 2004's King Arthur, he played Tristan. She was Guinevere.
Pass.
In At Eternity's Gate, Mads is a priest, and Willem Dafoe is this troubled painter.
Van Gogh.
Non-Mikkelsen actors to play Hannibal Lecter include Brian Cox and this Westworld actor.
Anthony Hopkins.
A 2009 film dramatized the relationship between Coco Chanel and this Rite of Spring composer. That composer, Russian composer Igor Stravinsky. All right, Dan, let's hear the Carey Report.
All right, a few passes to go over. If it's a novel with Ray Stevenson as Porthos, that's got to be The Three Musketeers. The very recent release with Mads Mikkelsen, Daisy Ridley, and Tom Holland is called Chaos Walking. Like, men are telepaths on a planet, and it doesn't make any sense. Vanessa Hudgens is the star of both High School Musical and Polar. And in 2004's King Arthur, Keira Knightley played Guinevere, but she was a druid and, you know, put like face paint on and stuff. Regardless, that means Kara got 7 correct answers. And so our final scores are Kevin with 125 points and a half point, Dave with 140, and our winner with 155 points, it's Carrie.
Good job. Woo!
Nice job. Congratulations, Carrie. That means it is time to say goodbye to Kevin and Dave. Guys, thank you so much again for being on the show. Super duper fun game. We'd love to have you back in the future anytime. Kevin, before we go, is there anything you'd like to plug or point our listeners towards?
Yeah, I host a podcast. It's called Cinema Chance Cube. We watch movies, obviously, and you can find that on Twitter at Cinema Chance Pod.
Thank you, Kevin. And Dave, anything for you to plug?
I don't have anything of my own to plug, but I do want to just plug Patreon in general. If you're listening to stuff that people create that you like and you want them to keep creating it, it's a great way to support it. And the guy who runs it makes fun music on YouTube, so he seems like a non-evil corporate person. So go for Patreon.
Well, congratulations again to Carrie. Carrie, you're going to be moving on to the season 4 finale championship match 2 weeks from now. In the meantime, what are you going to be watching or listening to help study up so you get your best possible championship game?
Well, I'm obviously going to watch the entire run of Mythbusters. No, that's a lie. I'm not doing that.
And anything to plug before you go, Carrie?
Yes. If you love 80s music like me, you can listen to me talk about it on Hey, Remember the 80s podcast, or you can listen to me introduce it to you on Charlie's 80s Attic, which is an internet radio station.
Fantastic. And listeners, you can also follow Carrie as the red race car or little red Corvette emoji over on our season 4 bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the Genovia Division Finals with returning players Susan, 4-20 Blackbirds Cole, Erica, Fairy Godmother Irving, and Jessica, Not the Rabbit Wellman. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
I won't give any spoilers, but they all look a lot like Hitler.